The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show. Hello, future traders and investors, and welcome to Power Trading Radio. My name is Christopher Crum. I'm in studio today, by the way, with the greatest co-host in the history of radio broadcasting. His name is Mr. Matthew McGrath.
Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome, Matt, and welcome to the show.
Thanks. It looks like you're feeling better now.
I am feeling better. My wife and I both managed to survive this flu pandemic that's going around.
Wow.
And so it's pretty rough week and a half or so, but I'm feeling much, much better.
You look much better. Look like you've lost some weight.
Well, thank you, I guess. I don't know if losing weight's a good idea, but whatever. Hey, listen, if you're brand new to this show, our show is fueled by Online Trading Academy. Online Trading Academy has been teaching people how to navigate the financial markets for almost 21 years now. We've got 45 locations across the United States and abroad. And our sole purpose for existing is to teach the average Joe. Well, we teach several things. The first one we'll talk about is the sexy thing that we do at the Academy, and that, of course, is trading the financial markets.
Right. Now,
trading, by definition, at least our definition is that it's frequent buying and selling in the financial markets.
Yeah.
So you're frequently buying stocks, buying and selling stocks, or maybe it's the options market. Maybe you've got an affinity for the global futures market, like Matt here does.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the global Forex market, which, by the way, is the largest market in the world, about $5.2 trillion change hands daily, at least on the days that it's open. And it's
right.
Open 6 days a week, 23 hours a day. So you're buying and selling with high frequency in these markets. And, of course, if you're listening to my voice, you know it's probably not rocket science what we've got to do in these markets. We need to buy low and sell high. That's
right.
How we make money buying and selling anything. I don't care if you're going out to the exchange and purchasing stocks to then resell to people on that same exchange, or if you're going to eBay and you've got a little jewelry company and you're buying your jewelry at wholesale and then selling it to retail people out on eBay. It's the same thing. So that's what we do. We teach traders how to trade the financial markets with high frequency. And the reason why we like to trade the financial markets is because we can create it as a source of passive income. So money that just accumulates very rapidly in an account, or you can, of course, use that money to supplement your income.
Right.
And maybe you're a person that loves your job, but let's face it, sometimes our dream job doesn't pay the kind of money that we'd like to make.
Sure.
And you'd like to take your spouse on that at least one five-star vacation a year, or maybe there's a dream home that you've got in mind that is important to you. Maybe it's a charity that you want to fund
right.
that you think would be exciting and you'd like to have income to do that. Or maybe you're that person that just doesn't like your job. And we run into a lot of students.
More and more.
That maybe at one point they were passionate about their job, but something's changed.
Right.
The new boss, they don't like new boss. Or maybe it's just they've gotten worn out and tired of it.
Yeah, or maybe never liked it to begin with.
Or maybe never liked it to begin with. You're right, Matt. Sometimes that job chooses you. You find something that you're pretty good at. And you're willing to settle, you're willing to just trade your most valuable resource, which is the time you have left on this earth, and you trade it for a paycheck.
Right.
And we get a lot of folks in the Academy that just are sick and tired of that grind of doing that. And so they want to replace their income. They want to do it so that they can pay the mortgage and enjoy the freedom of being of schedule. Number one, you're your own boss.
Yeah.
And the unlimited earning potential that goes along with that.
Yeah, and much less of a headache than most businesses, by the way.
Yeah.
Not much overhead. You don't have to worry about employee theft or anything like
that.
Or
employees, period.
Yeah.
Managing people.
Yeah, you're not having to manage anyone.
Yeah. The other reason people come to the Academy, of course, is to manage their long-term accounts. And, you know, the whole reason why we would have a long-term account is to hopefully accumulate wealth over time.
Right.
You know, in your long-term IRAs, your 401ks, your tax-deferred accounts, and then just your long-term investments, you're trying to create a bucket of money that's large enough that it puts you in a position where you're not dependent on the government for income. You're not dependent on the state. You don't want to be a ward of the state.
No, definitely
you don't
not.
Want to be dependent on charity or your family or your kids to pay your bills.
Yeah.
You no longer want to be dependent on a job. And that's called financial independence, by the way. That's what the definition of financial independence is, having enough money in your account so you're not dependent on anything.
Yeah, it's amazing. Only 4% of people actually achieve that, though, in this country. Well, I mean, 96% die without any money.
Most people don't plan for it.
No.
The most that most people do is contribute to a 401k, and oftentimes they're just contributing the bare minimum. And they're just blindly shoveling money in there with no plan going forward at all.
No.
Just with hopes that one day it works out.
Yeah, and by the way, you used to be able to do that, right, when the markets were averaging 9 or 10% a year. But again, there's more to it than just being disciplined and saving. Today, in these markets, you actually need to be able to manage the money as well to make sure that it grows.
Back in the day, we used to have pensions. Now, not very many corporations are providing pensions for their employees anymore. So they're almost wholeheartedly relying on the 401k.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be kind of a three pillars for success with
exactly.
Social Security, 401k, and then you had your pension.
Right.
And the 401k just doesn't get it done. You can't contribute enough each year.
No, companies started using the 401k to replace the pension. And again, that's never what it was meant to be used for.
Right. So that's what we do at the Academy. We teach traders how to trade the financial markets and how to replace or supplement their income by trading the markets if that's what they want to do. And then we also work with long-term investors in teaching them how to manage risk in the financial markets, how to maximize their gains, how to put together a plan for financial independence, and then achieve that plan over time. And if either of those concepts resonate with you, if you think you could enjoy the freedom of schedule and the unlimited earning potential that comes along with trading the financial markets, if you can see yourself managing your own accounts as you manage risk in the markets and build wealth over time, you know what you ought to do? You ought to just go ahead and check out our company on the World Wide Web at TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. TradingAcademy.com is all one word. You know what, folks? I think we've got a great show for you, lined up for you guys today. We're going to be talking about Bitcoin in the next segment. Boy, that's the hot topic, isn't it?
Right.
Got to get me some of that Bitcoin, those cryptocurrencies. That's the big hot topic on Wall Street right now. So we're going to talk about Bitcoin, some of its perks, and, of course, the downfalls that go along with it, and at least our opinions about it. And, of course, this show is about trading and investing the financial markets. So we're going to talk later in the show about what it's like to be a trader and what it's like to earn income by doing that, opening your own little trading business. You'll realize that it's not as complicated as you think it is. But right now, we've got a pause for station identification. I'm Christopher Crum in studio with Matt McGrath, and our producer, Mr. Matt Roberts, is flying the train today. This is Power Trading Radio. Well, if you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath.
And apparently I'm a little confused because I ended that last segment by saying that Matt Roberts, our producer, is flying the train rather than flying the plane. Where did you get your pilot's license for that train, Matt? How'd that come about?
You know, that's a little bit more complicated to fly. Something about the weight to lift ratio.
Okay. Yeah, but you're good at it, though. So thank you for being in studio with us today and helping us with that. So cryptocurrency is the big topic now. You know, that's all you're hearing on the news. They're talking about, and, you know, Bitcoin, I guess, was the original cryptocurrency, right?
Right.
The big deal. And at some point, it got up to over $17,000 per coin here this last year. And so everybody's like, how do I get in on this Bitcoin? Because there are some people that made, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars from that move last year. It went from around $400 or $500 per coin up to over $17,000.
Wow.
And then I'm hearing commercials on radio stations where the guy's saying, hey, you know, call in for my free book. And, you know, if you would have just invested $100, you would have had $57,000 by the end of that move, that kind of stuff. So people are excited about it. You know, I've watched some late night TV occasionally. Now, I like The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. You know, I think that's a fun show to watch. But the one that follows, the one with Seth Meyers, and if you love him, I'm sorry for this, but I'm not a huge fan. But I was watching Tonight Show last week and kind of got the first part of Seth Meyers. And they did this great little bit on Bitcoin. And just to set this up for you, it's he builds it as a commercial that he saw about Bitcoin. When in fact, and it's these three ladies that are sitting, middle-aged ladies that are sitting around the kitchen table and they're playing some gin. And so they get to talking about the retirement in Bitcoin. And Matt Roberts, if you could cue that up for us, I'd like to play the audio file of that for our listeners real quick. Are you ready? Let her fly.
If you're like me, I'm sure by now you've heard about Bitcoin. It's been in the news a lot lately, and there are still quite a few people who don't understand what it is. Well, luckily, I saw this commercial last night that explains what Bitcoin is and how it works. Take a look.
Gin.
Oh. I love our little get-togethers.
Well, you know what I don't love?
What?
Not knowing where to put my money for retirement.
There are just too many options.
401ks, IRAs, savings.
It's so confusing.
Well, you know where I put my money?
Where?
Bitcoin.
What's Bitcoin?
Bitcoin is the first decentralized digital cryptocurrency that works without a central bank.
Well, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, and it's so simple to use. Transactions take place through the use of cryptography and are verified by network nodes and recorded in an immutable public distributed ledger called a blockchain. What could be simpler than that?
Nothing. It sounds great.
Right. So is it like investing in stocks?
Kind of, but not at all.
Well, I'm on board.
Really? Because I have so many more questions.
Not me.
Where can I get one of these bitcoins? Can I buy one at my local bank?
Of course not. What a dumb question.
I thought it was valid.
No, it was dumb.
Bitcoins aren't like regular currency. They're mined.
In a physical mine, like gold?
That's ridiculous. Bitcoins are mined on computers using the SHA-256 hashing algorithm, creating 12.5 Bitcoins per block.
Uh-huh.
That is until mid-2020.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards, 6.25 Bitcoins per block for 4 years until the next halving.
Wait, are we still talking about money?
Cryptocurrency.
This sounds so simple.
Shut up, Margaret. There's no way you understood all of that.
Okay.
So how much do one of these bitcoins cost?
$17,000.
$17,000? That's insane.
Sounds like a bargain.
Ugh. And how do you keep track of these things' values?
Just check the internet. So far today, its value has gone up $1,000. And now it's down $800, and now it's up $500.
Sounds like you can't lose.
You absolutely can, Margaret.
How do I buy Bitcoin?
It's easy. Just go online and give them your credit card number.
Give who your credit card number?
Bitcoin. And then let the internet do what it does.
What does it do exactly?
It Bitcoins.
Here's my credit card.
No! So who started Bitcoin?
We think it was Satoshi Nakamoto.
Who is that?
No one really knows.
He sounds cute.
Margaret, I swear to God.
And Bitcoin is the only cryptocurrency I trust with my kids' college fund.
That's smart investing.
That's bat crazy.
Oh, now it's down to $3. Easy come, easy go.
This message brought to you by the stock market. Gamble with your retirement the old-fashioned way.
So there you go. Gamble with your retirement the old-fashioned way.
That was awesome. I actually had not heard that, and I'm just crying. I'm laughing so hard at that segment.
Is it like trading stocks? No, not really at all. Yes, but not really at all. Right. You know, so cryptocurrency was invented, like a lot of, I think, assets have been invented. And I don't know if invented or developed is the right word for that. But,
right.
You know, at one point in time, exchange-traded funds didn't exist. And an exchange-traded fund is something that is being publicly traded on the exchanges.
Right.
And it's an asset that trades like stock, but it is built to mimic a return. For example,
sure.
The first one was the Standard & Poor's,
uh-huh.
Ticker symbol SPY.
Yeah.
And basically what you're doing is if you buy one share of SPY, your money is actually spread across the average return of the S&P 500.
Exactly.
And so it is... Well, it's an intangible asset, you know, stocks are nowadays too. Everything's electronically moved around from person to person. But Bitcoin, there's nothing to substantiate its value.
No.
It is a currency that somebody built, and it's built upon algorithms, technology that creates this Bitcoin and quote unquote mines it through technology.
Right.
And then it's put up on an unregulated, it's not even on an exchange.
Now it's at least traded on the CME. That's what brought it a lot of legitimacy. I mean, that's where
the Bitcoin
future
one is, right? But it's not Bitcoin itself.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know, man. Obviously, people made money with Bitcoin last year. And we believe, of course, that the demand for it created a bubble. That's why the price went up so high. Something
right.
that was worth a couple hundred dollars at the beginning of the year, suddenly now it's pressing up towards $20,000.
No.
And of course, I don't know. Can you look up the current price for Bitcoin for us, Matt, real quick? You know, my problem with Bitcoin is that it's an artificial currency that I'm not a technology guy, but it's the technology that creates the currency, right?
Right.
And a person that knows what they're doing can actually set up their own cryptocurrency company with this technology in less than 2 hours.
Right.
So that's how much work goes into doing it. And now there's over 16,000 cryptocurrencies that are trying to compete for space in this market.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the Wild West. It's a brand new asset, and yeah, it is an actual asset.
No, and it is. And, you know, I take a slightly different view on it. I actually went through some training on this. I mean, obviously, the Trading Academy is the largest trading schooling in the world. And so we had to go through training on this, and I learned quite a bit about it that I didn't know. You know, the big downside to Bitcoin is that not many places accept it, and there are more and more places that accept it as currency, especially in Asia. But it does have one huge advantage over the U.S. dollar, believe it or not, and that's that there's a finite number of Bitcoin available. And, of course, the downside to the dollar, and the reason the dollar basically since World War II has been in a straight downward spiral, is because we have the unlimited ability to print money.
Right.
Right?
So there's quantitative easing.
Yeah. There's an unlimited supply. And that's one of the reasons Bitcoin is trading at such a high price, is I believe there's only 125,000, right, even available. I mean, it's a finite supply. Some of these other cryptocurrencies that a lot of the people are jumping on the bandwagon on now, like Ripple, for example, people are excited about it because they think it's in the same stages that Bitcoin was in years ago, where it's only a few dollars to buy a Ripple. But you have to remember there's over 2 billion Ripple in circulation. So it has to do, again, with supply and demand. So it'd be interesting. I really think that if a lot more recognizable places start accepting Bitcoin, the sky's the limit. But, you know, this could be disastrous overall for the dollar as well, right?
Yeah, it could.
Competing currency.
So the current price of Bitcoin is $11,091. And a month and a half ago, it was trading for $17,000.
Right.
So obviously, there was a bubble there that, or a correction that happened in the price. It had gotten too high. And the reason why price goes up like that, and it happens in every single one of our markets, is because of imbalances of supply and demand. When there's more buyers that want to buy and they're willing to pay more money for it, they'll up their bid price to attract more willing sellers.
Right.
And then they'll go ahead and buy in at a higher price. Boy, wouldn't you feel bad if you're one of those guys that decided, oh, now's the time to get into Bitcoin, and you paid over $17,000 for it,
right?
Only a month and a half later to find that, oh, my investment didn't pan out so well, now it's at $11,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an artificial currency that is, you know, in theory, our dollar bill is backed by gold, a precious metal.
Right.
And gold, of course, is being publicly traded, and it's worth thousands of dollars an ounce. Whereas Bitcoin, there is nothing to back.
Well, and again, there's really, our currency is no longer backed by gold. And again, that's one of the reasons it's been in such a downward spiral. When we went off the gold standard again is when it really started to tank. And that's, again, it's interesting. If you actually get in and look at it from a currency perspective, there's actually some advantages of Bitcoin over the dollar, believe it or not, and vice versa. But yeah, it was interesting. I had a totally different perspective on this when I went through training on it. But I agree with you. It's in a bubble. And what I'm shocked at is the number of people that are borrowing money to invest in Bitcoin. You know, I know someone who took out a home equity line of credit just to invest in Bitcoin. And that's the definition of speculation, right? The definition of gambling. Of course, if it makes up a minor part of an overall balanced portfolio, right?
Right.
Maybe 2% or something like that, you know, that's okay. That's healthy, actually, to have something in there that's speculative, that does have the potential to get massive returns. But we certainly don't want to invest, as that comedy routine you played, we simply don't want to invest our college education fund in Bitcoin.
No, you don't.
or your IRA for retirement, for that matter.
And here's my final 2 cents on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, is that if you're going to invest in that, then you need to understand how it works. I mean, you need to have a thorough understanding of how Bitcoin is mined, and then what's the likely future demand and supply for that going to look like. And so you need to understand the technology that's being used.
Right.
If you're looking at company stocks that you want to buy, then you need to understand how to look at the financials and identify a fundamental value of those stocks. You need to be able to do the same thing with Bitcoin, but that's based upon the technology that they're using. Well, we've got a break coming up here real quick. You know, I didn't mention this earlier, but stick around through the breaks because I give away some pretty cool things during these commercial breaks to those of you that are interested in learning to trade or invest in the market. And in fact, we'll be giving away a few to a few listeners here in just a little bit. But I do want to invite you to stick around for that. You know, after the break, we're going to talk about trading and investing in the financial markets, how you can start your own little trading business, if that's something that you want to do to replace or supplement your income. We'll kind of give you the ins and outs and the pitfalls of that as well. But stick around. This is Power Trading Radio. Welcome back to Power Trading Radio. I'm in studio with my co-host today, Matthew McGrath, and my name is Christopher Crum. Hey, thanks for tuning in today. We've been talking about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin more specifically, but there are 16,000 of them, isn't there, Matt? Something like that that you could invest in now. You know, when it comes to our students and teaching them how to trade the financial markets, we really focus more on traditional assets that you can trade and trading them on a qualified exchange.
Right, and that's the key, right?
Yeah. You know, the problem with Bitcoin is, one of the problems is they give you a very, very long identification number that is case sensitive and filled with numbers and letters, and this thing is incredibly long. And so let's say you're going to put $100,000 in Bitcoin. Well, if you go out there and it's supposed to be a capital I, but you miss the place as keystroke, this identifies your Bitcoin account, by the way, and you make the wrong keystroke and you use a small I instead of the capital I, and you go ahead and enter that $100,000, and sure enough, $100,000 leaves your account, and then you look in your Bitcoin account and there's nothing there. Well, you've transferred that money into right. somebody else's account, likely. Gosh. And if you've done that, who do you call? There's nobody to call. There's no brokerage to call. There's nobody to say, hey, look, I made a mistake here. My $100,000 is gone.
Right.
Now, maybe you've got a person on the other end of the line who received that money that's honest and wants to try and track you down and find out who's got a similar identification number, or maybe you don't.
Right.
Maybe you just lost your $100,000. So, you know, that's why we like to use regulated exchanges, and we like to trade assets that are traded on regulated exchanges.
Yeah, what I always say to people who come to the workshops when I teach is, you know, obviously the appeal of someone who's interested in speculating in Bitcoin is the potential for huge gains, right? But you can get huge gains by trading regulated assets.
Yes.
Okay, again, we're not talking about stock. Again, they move kind of slowly, and, you know, a good rate of return maybe is 10 to 20% a year. We're talking about futures and forex currencies, which are leveraged assets. They are traded on regulated exchanges. And again, if you are educated, it's not uncommon to get 800 to 1200% a year,
right,
which is really what you'd be looking at if a cryptocurrency exploded, right?
Yeah.
But you don't have the downside, right? I mean, Bitcoin is so volatile. I mean, just to trade it on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange involves putting up a margin of over $60,000. That's how volatile it is.
I mean,
if you're actually planning on trading Bitcoin, it's actually quite expensive to get into. You know, you could open a little $2,000 Forex account, which is a regulated exchange, and target, you know, $80 a day. But if you actually compound that out, that's extraordinary gain.
Sure. Now, I'm not as big a study on Bitcoin as probably you are, Matt. Here's a question for you, though, that just kind of occurred to me. Is it possible to short Bitcoin? Like, we can go short currencies on the Forex market. Do you know?
In the CME,
if there's a way to
you can short
the future?
Yeah, you can short the future.
But probably not the coin.
Right.
The coin's probably more of a buy and hold investment, and the only way you make money on it.
For most people, though, it would be cost prohibitive because you still have to put up the margin, right? And just to give your listeners an idea of what I'm talking about, there's 40 major futures that are traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And one of the big benefits of them is you do not have to purchase the entire asset in order to control the trade. So, for example, if you were trading stock, and the stock was $25 and you wanted to buy 100 shares of it, you'd actually have to buy 100 shares of the stock. So they're going to take $2,500 out of your account. Futures don't work that way. So, for example, if you were trading the crude oil future, you know, if you actually had to buy all of that oil like you do stock, just one contract of crude oil would cost you $65,000. Why? Because a contract of crude oil is 1,000 barrels of oil.
Uh-huh. Right?
But it's leveraged at 10 to 1. So you've only got to put up $6,500 to control that $65,000 worth of crude oil. And for that reason, price moves much more quickly in the futures market. They're leveraged assets. But with the strategy that we teach at Online Trading Academy, again, you're only risking 1% of your account on that trade. Right? We're not risking 1% of $65,000. We're risking 1% of our account. So if your account was $5,000, you're only risking $50
right.
on that crude oil trade. The original point I was making is most futures, you only have to put up between $800 and at most $6,000 to control the contract. With Bitcoin, we're having to put up $60,000.
Right.
in margin to trade it, which is, I mean, astronomical. Most people, that's cost prohibitive.
Sure. Sure. But still, I'm considering that 83% of statistics are made up on the spot. I'm going to say that 92% of our graduates are trading futures for
right.
this very reason.
Yeah.
It's just the best one. That and Forex are both great assets to trade if you want to replace or supplement your income because you get the volatility, you get the upward and downward movement in price. It's a global market, so there are a lot of players. It's open 23 hours a day, 6 days a week. Both of them are.
Yeah.
And so it's just a wonderful asset. And then you've just got this natural leverage component that Matt's talking about that allows you a lot more bang for your buck.
Exactly.
If you're going to get started trading, you know, the number one question we get asked is if I want to do this, obviously I need money to be able to buy my inventory with. How much money do I need to get started? And that's another, I think, great thing about both Forex and futures is you don't have to have a ton of money just to get started.
Yeah.
With Forex, you can start with as little as $2,000.
Yeah.
And in futures, you need to have at least $5,000 to get started. And that doesn't mean you have to limit yourself to $5,000. If you've got $20,000 you want to start with, futures
are plenty of students just in the last class that started with $10,000 or $15,000.
Sure.
But that's a huge advantage. You know, most people aren't aware of this, but to be able to take advantage of all the benefits of trading stock, you have to have $25,000 in the account.
Yeah,
you know, if you don't, you're not allowed to short, which is what allows you to make money when price goes down.
Yep.
You're not allowed to trade on margin, which if your goal is income, is just critical.
Yep.
Again, you can you don't have to deal with any of these downsides if you simply trade a leveraged asset like futures or Forex currencies.
Right. The tool chest is open. You've got all the same tools in your trading arsenal as Wall Street does.
Right.
Which is imperative because you're competing against these people in the financial markets.
Right.
And if you limit yourself to a modest skill set or a chest of trading tools, then you're really going to handicap your abilities to be able to be successful like Wall Street.
Yeah, and I might add, Chris, again, the whole key component of all of this is you need to be educated. In other words, if you don't plan on getting any education and you just open up a futures or a Forex account, it's one of the worst things to trade because it's leveraged. If you don't have any education, you don't know what a stop is, for example. Which is, again, you always liken it to the emergency brakes on the car.
Right.
Again, it's the worst thing to trade because you can lose a lot more money. But if you're an educated trader who does understand proper risk management and you do understand what a stop loss is on a trade, it's by far and away the best thing to trade. There's a huge upside.
Of course it is. You have to be able to do it because the financial markets are unpredictable to an extent and they're risky. And so, of course, you know, you can learn to time the markets with a fairly high degree of accuracy, but you're not going to be right 100% of the time. And we need to protect ourselves those times when we're wrong on a trade.
Exactly.
Wall Street doesn't win on every trade. Goldman Sachs doesn't win on every trade. Berkshire Hathaway doesn't win on every trade. And the average retail investor out there, 39 million of you guys trading from your E-Trade account, you don't win on, you know, very many trades. So you need to manage that risk. And litigate that risk. Mitigated is the
whole key is that we make more money on our winners than we lose on our losers. And that's what professional traders do, including the bankers on Wall Street.
Right. So you need to be able to identify imbalances of supply and demand. That's what moves price one way or the other. And you want a big enough imbalance that it's going to push price to a level that you can make a lot of money.
Right, or at least more than you're risking.
So once you learn how to do that, then you start to identify low-risk trades that are low-risk by nature, high probability, meaning the price is likely to go in the direction that you want it to go and go as far as you want it to go so you can harvest that big profit, and then high reward, the big profit side of the whole thing. Is key to it as well. You know, when we return from the break here in a minute, why don't we talk a little bit more about the mechanics of how we manage to make this happen? How do we identify these trades? How many trades do we need to make each day? How much time does it take? for us to be successful at doing this. And then get into some math about how much money you can make if you're successful on just half of your trades.
Yeah.
So you can do very, very well. So our next segment, we'll get into all of that stuff. We'll invite everybody to stick around, and we'll make sure we cover it as thoroughly as we possible during the time that we have allotted in that segment. Fair enough.
That sounds fair to me.
All right. Hey, folks, we're going to pause real quick again for station identification, but we're going to be right back. So please stick around. This is Power Trading Radio. Welcome back to Power Trading Radio. I'm Christopher Crum in studio today with my good friend and co-host, Mr. Matthew McGrath. We've got Matt Roberts flying the plane for us in the production studio today. Thank you for that, Matt. Hey, you know what? I want to just pause, as I do every week at this juncture, and speak for everybody on our team here in saying that we certainly appreciate you tuning in and listening to the show today.
We do.
We try to make it entertaining and fun, even though we're talking about potentially some pretty dull subject matter when we're talking about trading the financial markets. But you know what? We really appreciate folks listening to the show. Those of you that are loyal listeners, thank you for reminding yourself through your smart device, whatever that might be, your Amazon Echo or your Apple Watch. Maybe you just got a smart spouse that reminds you that the show's on. Either way, we appreciate you loyal listeners. And if you're brand new to it, hey, welcome aboard. Maybe you will set up your smart device and listen to us again next weekend. We appreciate you guys so very much. We love doing the show.
We do.
So we promised you before the break that we would go ahead and get into the mechanics of trading and investing and kind of what that looks like. You know, how is it that we could be successful at teaching hundreds of thousands of people over the last 21 years how to navigate some pretty risky, if not complex, financial markets, and then teach them how to be successful? And I think that one thing that we bring to the table that most companies don't, I believe that we're the only brick and mortar
I can't think of another
chain
one
of learning centers that does this.
Yeah.
Most things are, you know, you buy it over the internet, or it's a book or a video that you watch. But here we actually have over 110 instructors, many of which have come from professional trading careers that go into our classrooms to teach our students how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, these are professional traders, by the way, that trade for a living.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about former hedge fund managers, a lot of charted market technicians. That's the highest status that you can have as a trader in the world. There's only 5,000 of them in the world. These are real heavy hitters.
Yeah, many of them are. And, you know, I've been in education my whole life. I've never run across a company that has been so consistent at providing quality and entertaining education in the classroom. That's what makes it easy for people to learn. But the other part of it is that we have a very unique and patented strategy that we're teaching people. And it's truly based upon the core element that moves price in the markets, which is imbalances of supply and demand. That's how we can time the markets with a fairly high degree of accuracy.
Right.
Because we can look at a price chart and we can identify where it's likely that one of these big banks and institutions is going to be placing a lot of money, thereby causing the price to go up or go down. And then we just follow along with those banks. We have learned to predict where it's likely they're going to go into the markets.
Yeah, and we tag along with them and then use proper risk management. So the ones that we are wrong on, we don't get hurt on.
Right. And that's really the key component, but it's a fairly simple strategy that we teach our students. So we're not getting into support and resistance and the Bollinger Bands and the Fibonacci and, you know, all of this technical stuff that seems so complicated that Wall Street talks about. But rather, we teach pretty simple philosophy towards buying and selling in the financial markets. It should be simple because you're just buying and selling. And you know the way we make money buying and selling stuff is buy low and sell high, right?
Exactly. And again, if you keep it simple, my experience has been that those are the graduates who do the best. Again, you can complicate this. I mean, you could spend 8 to 10 hours a day doing your analysis to determine what you're going to trade. But I found that ones who just follow the core strategy routine that you're talking about, our patented strategy, do the best.
Right. The average student that's sitting down, and we teach our students to place four day trades a day, maybe have a couple of swing trades going in the background. A day trade, by the way, you're going to start and end your trade by the end of the day and go to cash. So if you're buying and selling stocks, you'll buy your stocks after the market opens, but you're going to sell the stocks by the end of the day before the market closes.
Exactly.
And that's what a day trade is. So we teach our students how to identify 4 day trades each day that have 3 attributes as far as the price goes. We want an entry into the market that is low risk, high probability, and high reward. And then we teach our students how to use a software to then tell the exchange that you would like to buy this asset at a specific price, sell it at a specific price. Then you're also going to have a second sell order in there for a loss.
Right.
And that's the stop loss we were talking about before the break, the emergency brakes on the car. That's what limits your loss to a small percentage of your account. But we don't mind doing that at all because we want to get our money back into our account. We know that we didn't lose enough that it's going to be catastrophic to our trading business. And we're in the business of trading the next day. We freed up that cash flow. Now we can put that money in a winning trade.
No, and it's critical, by the way, because, again, in my opinion, the biggest thing that differentiates a professional trader from a novice trader is a professional trader can tell you before they ever even place the trade exactly how much money they're going to make if they're right,
yep,
and exactly how much money they're going to lose if they're wrong. It's all programmed into the trade setup before they even place the trade.
Right.
And, again, we teach, I know here, that you risk no more than 1% of your account per trade. So what does that mean? Well, if you have a $5,000 futures account, which, as you mentioned, many of our students trade, you're not going to risk more than $50 on any one trade today, right?
Right.
Just, in other words, just because you have $5,000 in your account does not mean you're risking $5,000. Again, you're putting a stop loss on that trade, on each one of your trades that day, at no more than $50, right?
Right. Yep. Right. So risk management is key. Obviously, the way that you manage these funds is key. But when you take a look at a rule-based strategy like this, you're making logical business decisions. And oftentimes, it's just a small, basically, a decision-making session where you're setting up your trades, 45 minutes maybe, 40 minutes, half an hour. It takes to make 20 decisions in the market. If you use the same software that Matt and I do, it's automated. So we just tell the software where to buy and sell, and we set it and forget it, and we can come into the academy or the radio studio and do a radio show
right. Because
that's more fun, right?
Yeah.
So we still love to make money. It's fun to make money, but it's also fun to do other things.
Yeah.
So we truly have put ourselves in a position where we can manage our time and spend the time that we have left on this earth doing the things that we're passionate about. And trading is, of course, one of those passions. So 45 minutes in the mornings before you go to work. If you're like Matt, you're a futures trader, you might come home and sit down at 7 o'clock at night and set up some trades before you go to bed.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite times to trade because, again, as we mentioned in the prior segment, futures and Forex move quickly, right?
Yep.
Which most people associate with risk. But remember, if you have that 1% stop on your trade, right, you're not risking a lot of money. But the benefit of that is they're done fast. So if you set up your trades before you go to bed and then go to sleep, when you get up the next morning, they're typically done.
Yeah, and it's kind of a fun thing to wake up to,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's fun. You look forward to getting out of bed each morning.
And by the way, you can make money in the markets when the markets are going down. And let's not forget about that, because a lot of people, especially if you're new to this, I know that when I was new to it in the beginning, I always thought that, first of all, there's only stocks that you can buy and sell if you want to be in the financial markets. And I didn't realize there are other assets like futures or Forex or options. And then I also thought the only way that you made money was to buy low and sell high. That's called taking a long position. So I'm going to buy stocks at $10 and sell them at $15, and I just made myself a $5 profit per share. But in fact, you can make more money when the markets are going down by taking what's called a short position.
Right.
And a short position, I think we define this pretty much every week in the show. So if you're one of our loyal listeners, you're probably going to say this verbatim. But it's when you are actually borrowing shares from your brokerage, and then you're going to turn around and just sell those shares that they've just lent you. You put the money in your account, then you wait for the price to fall, and then you buy the shares back and give them back to the brokerage. So we have this relationship with these brokerages that if you've got a margin account, then you can sell short in the market. And they do it all of the time. It's just an arrangement that we all have. Wall Street does it every day.
Yeah, and by the way, this all happens with the press of a button.
Yeah.
Just like when you're buying something, you're pressing the sell short button. And the process you've just explained is what's going on behind the scenes. But that all takes place in less than 1 second, all of those steps that you just went through.
Right.
Again, don't feel, if you're new to this and you're just listening, that this is overly complicated. And that's why I think the best way to explain what a short is you're betting that the price goes down.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You know, when you buy something, you're betting that the price goes up, right?
Right.
And if it goes down, we lose money. When we're shorting, we're betting that the price goes down. And now if it goes up, we're losing money.
Right.
And that's why, just like on those other trades we talked about, we have to have a stop on the short, right?
Which is a buy order.
Yeah, a buy order. And that's going to be no more than 1% of our account. So whether we're buying or whether we're shorting, we're only risking 1% of our account per trade.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, the average person can learn how to do it. It's just that you need to go ahead and invest in that 6 inches between your ears so that you understand what Wall Street's doing out there, and you want to make sure that you're not limiting your skill set and that you can make money on the markets when the markets are dropping, make money on the markets when the markets are going up. And there are even strategies that you can deploy when the markets are going sideways to make money.
Yeah.
If you know how to do it. But the problem is the average Joe out there that wants to learn how to do this, that, you know, they just saw that E-Trade commercial where the dumbest kid in high school just bought a boat. And they think they can, you know, go out and buy a yacht if they have an E-Trade account, and they fund it and then start trying some things. The next thing you know, they'll lose their whole account.
Yeah, and what they're really doing is gambling, right? That's just another form of gambling.
Sure. But if you can learn a rule-based strategy, you learn about these different, you learn how to execute these different strategies in the markets, like going short or going long, the stop loss, and you can learn how to do it in these different leveraged markets. And then you apply this rule-based strategy to then manage those trades.
Right, to put the odds in your favor.
Putting the odds in your favor and managing all that risk and everything. Well, what you've just done is you've put yourself in a position, first of all, where you're not making emotional decisions. And emotional decisions are the ones that are going to lose you money. Hey, folks, we're just about out of time here. Don't forget to check us out on the World Wide Web at TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. On behalf of my good friend Matt McGrath and Matt Roberts flying the train today, I'm Christopher Crum. This has been Power Trading Radio.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.